Today is Mo Wright. It's a beautiful Friday in Amsterdam, Friday afternoon. Mo, with that beat, it sounds like Friday evening already.
It does, right? It does sound like a Friday evening.
Yeah. But it's more than a beat. And I think that's maybe the thread of our conversation, hopefully.
Yeah.
I suspect will be. Welcome.
More than a beat. I really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What did we just listen to?
So this is a... this is from a scene from a Japanese, very off-center film called Frog River. And it's a scene where the protagonist comes home from work, I think. And he arrives at his apartment and immediately takes off his clothes and starts flipping through his vinyl collection and puts on I Got That Feeling by Kerry Chandler, or one of Kerry Chandler's alter egos, and mixes it flawlessly into another Kerry Chandler song, Atmospheric Beat, I think. And it is something that I found online. It encapsulates a couple of things, but mainly my passion and fascination for house music, but also my passion for music and the way I, now that I'm older, realize that I use music to relate to the world around me, but also mostly to myself, and construct and or deconstruct my identity.
Right, the music does that.
Yeah, yeah. I never thought about it like that. It just happened. But as I grew older and developed a vocabulary for an emotional vocabulary through therapy and amongst other things, but also a political vocabulary or a cultural vocabulary through media studies.
Yeah.
I was able to, I recognize now that, actually I used, this was a way to relate to house music, but also house music related to me in a way that I was not aware of at the time.
Right. Determined also by surroundings, of course.
Yeah.
Those surroundings equally being online. You mentioned before we started the show
Yeah.
Is that so many of these things that we'll be hearing, or a lot of the context that we speak from, is that online presence?
Yeah. So there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
And the reason is that I grew up outside of a community and outside of my own culture.
Yeah.
I grew up in what is the suburbs of Amsterdam. And that was an all white environment. And my parents, when they came from Suriname to the Netherlands, they were quite young. And by the time I was born, they spent the majority of their life in the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. And due to migration politics of Suriname, which and the Netherlands mostly, or mainly, they were under the influence of, or they were being swayed or influenced to assimilate.
Right.
And Indo-Caribbean, Hindustani Surinamese people, even more due to, what is it called, the model minority concept.
Right.
One is better than the other, and the other, very often or not, Afro-diasporic people are worse. And because of that, I grew up, I emerged out of that. Now my parents were thought they fully assimilated.
Mm-hmm.
And then I emerged in this environment that they chose and I didn't. And I was outside of, my own community and people that look like me.
Yeah.
So I have a couple of embarrassing stories about that, which I will spare you. But yeah, as a result, as a person who was born in 93, early 2000s, unrestricted internet led to, being able to navigate things, but right. also trying to fill in things that weren't there in the physical world.
Mm.
And music was one of those things, especially when I fell in love with like house music. That was something that I was able to navigate. You know, I didn't go to the record stores at the time.
Right.
Growing up from in an assimilated environment, there were, people put boundaries on me.
Mm.
Not explicitly, sometimes, but if I wanted to like experiment with my identity, for example, when I speak in Dutch, my ex used to say that if I hear you speak over the phone, you sound white, and I did not know how to respond to that. You know,
I can imagine.
I did not know how to respond to that, and I have similar stories from when I was younger, like a teenager. So there were boundaries put on me, and house music, I mean, when we started clubbing, it was more techno and it was more aimed towards hedonism.
Yeah.
And when I discovered that there was a community in Amsterdam that was playing like soulful house music,
it was open.
It was, yeah.
Mm.
But it was also, now in hindsight, I realized that was also the moment that I really wanted my friends, white friends at the time, to also feel this.
Mm.
But now I realize like they couldn't.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm saying that what the stories in house music or the origins of house music are in no sense similar to mine, but I found something in that that really it made me feel that I had something or somewhere to belong.
Yeah.
This is a lot about belonging as well.
Sure.
Yeah. But also with, since I'm an only child, I also didn't have any, like a lot of cousins around that could like guide me I felt quite alone actually. And that's what also kept me online and less outside, you know, gaming being one of those things. But then when I realized like, oh, I could archive music in my iTunes library, that was a thing for me, you know.
Here we go. Yeah.
And there was a hurdle to get over to go to these things. I didn't grow up with like Sensation Y and that shit, but I did when I found like these smaller clubs that where I play at now, where I'm more comfortable than, you know, the bigger things. That's I felt a sense of belonging, you know.
So I heard you give a lecture at Metro 54.
Yeah.
And it was essentially a journey into this question very much, specifically to Surinamese rooted music,
or
South American, maybe more broadly mentioned, the north of South America.
Yeah.
That archiving you just said, you know, just archiving the first tracks and having the feeling that you have this collection, that you're starting to build something. Is that a body? How would you call that? Is that a body? Is it a cloud? Is it the beginning of Mo, right?
That's a good question. Like,
what is that?
Yeah. Maybe archiving is also a theme, huh? Whether it's physical, you know, vinyl.
Sure.
But also, yeah, a way to tell, you know, a story.
Well, it's literally
about yourself, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll hear it later, but it's also literally the things that you pick from and put together again.
Yeah.
In the new body that you create as a DJ.
Yeah. Yeah, and as a music producer as well. But that starts with having tentacles in all those spaces, both online and offline. Mm. I don't know, I have like synapses that, you know, blink every time I'm like, oh, I can connect this to that, you know? Mm. And that's, I think that started with like something like iTunes, like I mentioned before. I started, right. I'm doing air quotes, legally downloading music. And from there, I realized like, oh, actually, I can do something with this. I can learn how to DJ and then perform this. And I'm not, obviously you're doing it with people.
Yeah.
But it was, again, a method and a tool for me to find a way closer to myself. Mm-hmm. Because one of those things that the consequence of growing up outside of community culture is that you're not tethered in any way to a physical space, right? And then you float, and then the cloud metaphorically catches you, and then you're online. I start to build like an archive, and I start to build that tether. I'm trying to tether to something, and that was music, and then it was house music, but it was also a lot of hip hop. Mm-hmm. And the cultural force behind those things allowed me to construct a identity, I think, or a way of looking at myself. I was like, okay, yeah, you grew up here. You don't have people that look like you. At the time, I didn't know that it mattered that much. But now in hindsight, I realized, yeah, there were a lot of things that I was doing to compensate, quote unquote, for that lack.
Right.
And music was one of those things, collecting first, archiving, DJing. And then I really love this quote by Mos Def. He was like, a lot of people that really like music, if you really, really love music, what those people have in common, at one point in their life, they all try to make it.
Yeah.
And not for the benefit of financial benefits or whatever, but you just love it so much that you want to do it, you know? And that was, for me, it was the case as well, that I started making music.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some cultural expressions emerged from that, that at the time I didn't know were cultural expressions, but I was looking for the things that the cultural pieces that I was lacking in my own life. And in finding, in expanding and digging and digitally digging, I find things that are a bit like that, such as the track that we can play in a minute. But also I realized like, but that was 10, 20 years ago. Right. What does it look like right now? And I've been always looking for a role model or a blueprint, but it's not there.
Yeah, the blueprint is never settled. It's never set.
Yeah.
Is it a good time for Jack Rules the World?
Yeah. Let me properly introduce this.
Please.
So this is one of the band members of the Indo-Surinamese or Hindustani band, the Juniors, which is brothers from Suriname, obviously. And one of them made in the 2000s, I think they were active from the 80s until now. Mm-hmm. But in the 2000s, I think this is one of the only songs. So most of the music is Bhai Dakdana or Kavina and other Surinamese styles, different, and also different Surinamese genres. But this was UK garage, and this is one of the songs that was an anomaly in their discography.
Smiling because it's such an anomaly.
It is an anomaly until you connect it to why it is two-step or why it is garage. It makes a lot of sense, because two-step and garage come from the UK.
Yeah.
And in the UK, there's a big big South Asian community and a relatively small but still Indo-Caribbean community as well. So it stems from that. That's what I think. I never asked the person, but that's what it is. And I was so inspired by it Because there was something that it was a piece of the puzzle that I was so happy to find that, there are other people also trying to do this, you know, creating things for in the cultural context that you exist in. And I was looking for that as a way of recognizing and belonging, but it's still different from what I am. And the stuff that we'll play later is also a consequence of that.
What year is this track before we turn it on?
I think it's 2000 somewhere, early 2000s.
Okay.
Might be.
Full title?
Kitna Sunatune. And it is a, no, I'm going to butcher it. I'll look it up. I'll tell you later. Yeah.
You ran over to look it up. You couldn't resist.
Yeah, I couldn't resist.
Let's hear it.
This is how it very often goes. So when I found this song, I had already flipped through on this YouTube page 200 songs of the Juniors. Okay. Again, I had to ask my uncles and my aunties because they have the CD.
Right.
But I didn't.
Okay.
So I had to YouTube. Again, I'm browsing and flipping through. And as soon as I heard this, another 2-3 tabs open because I don't speak Hindi. I don't speak Sarnami, which is the dialect of Hindi.
Your parents didn't teach you that either?
No, they speak it with each other.
Interesting.
But they don't speak it with me because I am Dutch. That's how far it went. And then now I'm trying to speak it with them, but they respond in Dutch to me, which is the other way around. My mom sometimes would, you know, say certain things when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I would respond in Dutch, but they never like properly taught me. But it's different, I think, now that I address it to them.
Yeah.
And now, you know, the cultural climate has changed. I have changed. Sure. I have vocabulary now to mention, to call things out. And they're like, yeah, I understand.
All right.
So I had to look up the lyrics. When I heard the song,
yeah.
20 other tabs open. Who is this by? Is it an original composition? It isn't. It is a, I think if I remember correctly, it's a Sufi, Islamic, yeah. Urdu. It's sung in Urdu. So the original is in a different language, but this is in Suriname, mm. so the dialect in Suriname. Mm. But it is, I think, originally a Sufi chant or song. So yeah, related to Sufism.
Yeah.
Which leads me again to believe that the connection with the UK is more there.
Yeah.
Or yeah. So, but again, I can't understand what it's saying. So I have to translate it, or I send it to my dad, like, hey, can you translate this for me?
Yeah.
And the lyrics are wonderful. But that makes it even weirder, you know, that I feel such a connection. I feel so yeah. seen hearing this,
yeah.
even though I don't understand the language. But the fact that it is crossing two cultures that I am a part of and that I'm a part of is really, it made me feel very seen. And that was really, it was really nice.
That's amazing. So how long ago is this? Just to get an idea of where we are?
Yeah, I think this was last year on a Tuesday at 3 a.m. Oh, I was just flipping through the...
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, very often I hyper-focus.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I want to do it well.
Yeah.
I want to do something creative. Not just to be creative, but... making these connections helps me personally, and I really like that. It's really stimulating for me too.
I hear in everything you say, and also the voice you say it with. And listeners, I wish you could also see Mo's face when he says it. Mm. That understanding of to do why to do it and what it does, and the enduringness of it. As you say, the blueprint. There is no blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, where do you assign your And do you assign a sense of responsibility in that? Do you feel that you're responsible somehow towards a larger cause or a bigger reason to do it?
Yes, now, yeah. Since last year.
Okay.
Since last year.
Because that's what I heard in that lecture. Just to be clear, it was the sentence, doing the work. That's personal work. That's also... that's labor that finds its way somewhere else.
Yeah, and at the time, I didn't realize that it was like creative labor, mental labor. It's a lot of mental labor.
Mm-hmm.
But the mental labor also translates to cultural labor, cultural right. production, yeah. As we'll see in a minute.
You want to listen to it now?
Let's do it.
Let's go straight into it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because this is where you start to make things.
Yeah, I was already making a lot of music.
Oh, of course.
But I was very insecure. That's also a part of being untethered and having no blueprint and having helicopter parents. No shades to my parents because they did a wonderful job raising me. But obviously there are certain things that come with it. But I was very insecure.
As always.
I was very insecure, so it took me a very long time to actually go out with music.
Mm-hmm.
I put out music, but this specifically, why I brought it is because it relates again to these axes of identity and culture. Because this is a song that I made with a friend, Lumsy Kefin, and I did a music production course with him last year. I've been making music. For I think 10 years, but I moved to the Bijlmer, where I live now, where I call my home,
mm-hmm.
where I feel at home, more at home than where I grew up.
Yeah.
And there was a music production course, and I really felt like if I go there, then I'll meet, you know, people. And I met him, and then we ended up in the studio, and he was also making music on these axes of current, for his house music, but also Amapiano type influences and Afro-Surinamese music genres such as Kawina.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought those things together. He already had like music out. And during the music production course, I sent him an album by Fundering. And I said, like, hey, maybe you can sample this. And then that was the start of the collaboration.
Right.
So that's the percussion in the song. And then we started building from there. And I don't know if he knows this, but that was very healing for me to be in the studio with him,
yeah,
making music, making culture together. That, you know, from what I was taught is a lot of like divide and conquer amongst the different diasporas in Suriname, the different ethnicities
right.
in Suriname.
Okay.
So for example, my parents, when I was younger, would say like, discrimination, we don't experience discrimination. Discrimination is for black people, which is crazy, but that's what they were led on to believe due to the model minority ideas and these divide and conquer tactics. A lot of this also has to do with unlearning,
sure,
learning about myself, also unlearning. And being with Kevin in the studio was, I felt very, not anxious, but I was like nervous. Again, I'm very insecure. I'm still very insecure that he would like notice, like, oh yeah, man, well, are you performing your ethnicity or whatever, or are you acting like somebody you're not?
Who are you?
Who are you? Yeah. And he thought none of those things, obviously.
Mm.
But yeah, we got in the studio and we started making music together, and it was like the exact middle ground of both our sounds and styles, and that's what I really love. And the fact that it was a cultural exchange that did me very well.
Yeah.
So this is a song, it doesn't have a title yet, and I think we still need to tweak it a little bit, but I really wanted to bring it because it is the next step, you know, from the song that I heard at the previous one by Jack Rules the World,
yeah,
to doing that, but then now and myself. Yeah,
here we go.
Yeah.
So this is the first step out into the open. Well, not the first, but an important step.
It is an important step where I realized that cultural production, it is a way of reimagining, not reimagining, but it's a way of using as a compass in a way, you know, to find my way to navigate, basically.
Okay.
It's a way of navigating.
What's your north? Do you have any idea?
No, that's what I'm trying to find out, man. I'm terminally online trying to find that true north, but it's very difficult.
It's interesting. I heard somewhere that actually true north is only really visible without all the instruments. So in other words, if you really have to make only use of what you see around you, that what nature offers you, no instruments.
Okay.
It actually only occurs mainly once a month when there's a new moon, like last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's interesting to think that also the understanding of where you truly are.
Mm-hmm.
Is actually a lunar and, well, for some people that's more important than others, but at least a circular cycle.
Yeah.
You only know exactly, at best, who you are every cycle.
I like that.
So do I.
I like that.
It can generate rest, some calmness.
Yeah.
Settle people down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we spoke about a sense of belonging, but a sense of direction is what I'm working towards, I think.
So how do you do it? Is there an answer to that? Like, how do you do the work?
Reading a lot. And also watching a lot. So I'm addicted to YouTube, basically.
Okay.
And I have a lot of experience that's not maybe for now, but another time. I wrote my master's thesis in media studies on digital cultures and specifically conspiracy cultures.
Okay.
So a certain moment in my life or a certain period in my life, as I was looking for answers, I was in conspiracy culture myself.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a master's in research allowed me to critically reflect on my media consumption and also the way that media consumes us, basically.
Right.
So now my YouTube is aimed at, you know, unlearning and dissembling myself and gaining new better vocabulary or vocabulary to understand myself and the things that we're discussing right now, which I really love.
Yeah.
It is my partner works in journalism, but when she's at home, her media consumption is focused on entertainment because she engages with shit.
Yeah, horrible things.
Exactly.
Okay.
But for me, it's the other way around.
Right. You work at BNNFARA?
Yeah, I work at BNNFARA in innovation. When I'm home, I want to learn. I want to understand. I love understanding. And I can only understand stuff if I can get a general sense of the scope of things.
Yeah.
So I consume a lot. Music, but also content, which is very often critical theory, very theoretically oriented.
Now, I'm keen to ask you a personal, professional question,
yeah.
which is, I can only imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, because this could be full of speculation,
mm-hmm.
That working at BNNFARA in some way, now you're doing the work, things are becoming more clear. There is no blueprint. It's an enduring process
mm-hmm.
From which you grow stronger, more conscious,
yeah,
more calm.
Definitely.
It's not to say that BNNVARA isn't a surrounding or an environment that inherently doesn't support something like that. But I can imagine it's very much still an environment that's much like the one you left behind or the one you grew up in. Let's put it that way.
I'm learning
So how does that work now?
That
must be really educational then.
I'm learning that the hard way, yeah. It's hard.
Okay.
Because since those Maccabi reservists, the hooligans, right, that were in Amsterdam, and the way that this Hasbara basically was successful, and the Dutch media elite or media class, whatever you want to call it, fully sided with this, fully like were influenced by this Hasbara. I realized, like, okay, that was the moment that, you know, made a lot of sense to me, that, okay, that's where I know what I have to do.
Okay.
But it's still struggling trying to find ways to address that in BNNFARA, for example.
Yeah.
Do
you see Sorry to interrupt. Do you see the potential of what the instruments that you have, those instruments being music?
Mm-hmm.
Much more than that, not only that, but it's the music that you also now work with. It's a major tool in this work that you do.
Yeah.
Is it, how do you say that? Does it intervene within? Does it circumvent? Does it surround? Does it subvert? In your mind, is it a way to distance or a way to look back? How would you describe it?
That's a very good question. I don't think I have an answer, and I don't think there's just one answer.
Sure.
You can approach it and instill it in very different manners and ways. I've always kept those two things separate.
Yeah.
But it's starting to converge more as I am also converging more towards one goal, purpose, or person, or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's hard.
It's exciting, man.
It is. It is, but also frustrating.
Sure.
It's also frustrating.
And a bit daunting as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Certainly considering the context and the days and age we're living in.
Definitely, man.
Things are a lot different even with Maccabi Haifa and Ajax already.
Yeah, yeah.
It's completely different.
It's, man, the fascist machine is on, you know, the notch is on 11.
Sure.
Now I'm in this process. The two songs that I still have that I want to play are, one is related more as a sequel to what we just heard.
Yeah.
And the other one is already trying to find a way to address my positionality towards the outside.
Yeah.
That I really feel now since that moment. I haven't created new music since then, but I really feel like, okay, I have to. Now I know why I'm using this and how I can use it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to hear two tracks then.
Yeah, let's.
Should we just play them after each other?
I think that would be nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would be nice.
Is there something you want to say about the tracks in terms of title or anything else?
Yeah, so Aleng means rain in Surinamese. And so this is, again, a cultural hybridity at its finest, I might add myself.
Good.
I was very excited to bring all these things together because I'm also very, very much a jazz head. So this brings electronic jazz also into the fold, but right. R&B as well. I have to mention it. Is what I really like is when an idea starts to click.
Yeah.
And this is the moment when it clicked. Was like, this is a song by a Indo-Surinamese woman singing in Surinamese. I don't know. I haven't heard that a lot in my online consumption. But again, online consumption is not the real world. But it's about rain. And I figured, like, let's put SWV's Rain a cappella next to it, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody's going to realize or hear it, but it was really nice. It was a really nice addition, for if I could say so myself.
And the track afterwards?
The track afterwards is called Mirror. So we spoke a lot about how we started with house music.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the songs that I've played so far is dance music. But another element to this in relation to music and my identity is rap and hip hop and Black American culture.
Yeah.
Which I am growing up in a white environment was a way of reconciling with that fact, with that idea that I was too white for this and too black for that. It was a way of trying to reconcile that.
A bit of a lifeboat, I suppose, in a way.
A bit of a
lifeboat, if I may use the metaphor.
Yeah.
The ship is not yours to be on anymore for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And the island is yet to be reached.
Yeah.
So that's the way to stay afloat.
Yeah. And then again, I love language. I love words. I love beautiful sentences, which is why I really like academic literature, which is sometimes very convoluted, but sometimes the longer the sentence, the nicer I think it could be, or the nicer I think it is. And but I also, for that same reason, I love rap music. Like, I love when Black Thought or Mos Def or Billy Woods or whatever, you know, puts a sentence together. It could be long, but it could also be very short in their delivery. It's amazing. And again, what Mos Def said, at some point in your life, you're going to try to make it. So that was my attempt at rap music.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Yeah.
Work hard. Be somebody. And be something more than what you see in the mirror.
Hey, yo, Maurice, go to store for me, son.
Stone-faced when I speak to myself, the man in the mirror. Medusa eye and I deliver. Self-inflicted rays of delirium. The stereo phase in the mind race, and I'm in last place. The mirror judging my morality. The glass press can't trust it with my serenity. So I resort to bricks on a black screen. My eyes staring back at me. Self-inflicted prophecy. The view through the lenses of eye are skewed. It's smoke on the water. Deep purple hues evoking some mother. Yeah, that's the big one. Internalizing the image of the sick one. The anima fence of black screen, smoke on mirrors. The flowers bloom through the crevices and opening a space beyond the place of the mirror is what I yearn. But the figure eight makes the eternal return.
What proof can I possibly give you?
Ghost face when I speak to myself, the killer in the mirror. It throws wings, they make me feel bigger. The vigor in my eyes, I'm beaming at the sky. Meet the hubris and the lies, make everything wither. The mirror's casting the simulacrum in its reflection. Reality is made fiction beyond what we imagine. The hyperstition is imminent and it is refracting. The contraction of zen and tens like the tangents pressing. That portmanteau came from the top of the dome. I'm looping holes like the go-to shining in my earlobes. On the download, the mirror's like a heliotrope. Support your mans though, cause the lit style is really free flown. The heliotrope flips the script on my empiricism. I know some potties watching from my mirror image. Adjusting the rearview mirror for a clearer vision. It's designed to view the world as skeuomorphism.
Work hard. Be somebody. And be something more than what you see in the mirror. Let the world be your mirror. Don't let them judge you, because the mirror can't judge you. You judge what you see in the mirror.
Be somebody. I heard it.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the background.
That was Lil Wayne. That's I found that in a documentary by Tyler the Creator when he was working on his fourth album, Cherry Bomb.
Right.
And Lil Wayne is also on the album.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where he's in the studio and I had to cut that out and then remove all the other sounds, and then I wanted to include it in here because the song is called Mirror.
Right. Yeah, and we're talking about what body that is. It's funny, when we were listening to the track, I asked questions about the alto sax in Alain.
Yeah.
Got it wrong. But you did say, you know, you started thinking like, oh, you know, I was thinking I'd do a little bit of this genre, or I'm going to make the track in that. And then you just thought, fuck it. I'm going to put it all together.
Yeah. So it's like soca, chutney, jungle, R&B, trap, suri pop.
Yeah.
It's all in there, yeah. And again, it wasn't there before.
Right.
And I don't know if people hear it, if people want to hear it. I don't know. You know, you look for acknowledgement. I look for acknowledgement. I look for belonging.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like if it's not there, then it should be there. Why not make it? And it's not that I am doing everything consciously. It just happens. It just so happens. That's, you know, the artist that is, or the spirit or whatever, that culminates in this moment in time, you know, all these inspirations that you draw and feel like, yeah, I don't know. It just feels like it has to be there.
In that second track, in Mirror.
Yeah.
And I mean, tell me if I got at the wrong end, but there is something differently produced in that collage of different identities and tracks and styles. Is less present? Is it because also your voice is really you know, and your lyrics are the ones, it's you rhyming.
Yeah.
It's your lyrics.
Yeah.
That are on the on stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a difference also.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think that's different. When I actually didn't think about that, but when I'm producing,
right,
and making music, such as Aleng, or original compositions that I made, such as Things to Prove, also kind of arrangement wise borrows from this and that, and it's also like a collage, but
right, like a mad professor in a way.
Yeah, yeah, and also a person who is unwilling and unable to make a decision, like I have to make a cut, you know.
Yeah,
but then yeah, with my rap, it's more, it should be more, I want the lyrics to be more focused or centered, because yeah, putting them together, like I remember writing some pieces of the verse, and I got really excited when I put like two or three words together, and that's very or two or three sentences or bars together, that's really intentional.
Mm-hmm.
It's really intentional, and it has to mean something. Everything I do has to mean something. Mm-hmm. That's why sometimes it takes a long
sure.
time to make some things, and also it takes out the spontaneity.
Yeah,
but it's, yeah, with rap it's very focused, and it's, again, it's it wasn't there before, meaning I don't know any Indo-Surinamese rappers. I rap in English because if I would rap in Dutch, I'm too uncomfortable with that. So doing it in English is more comfortable to me. And then I'm in the realm of other Indo or South Asian rappers, namely from the UK that I draw inspiration from.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that this is the call for, but I would love to see an Indo-Surinamese rapper rapping in Hindi or in Surinami. It's not there. I cannot do it. But and also we don't have the cultural power. I don't know, cultural
presence, agency.
Yeah, thank you. We don't have the cultural agency to do so because we're stereotyped a lot and still adhere sometimes to the stereotype. So that's also why I'm still quite outside of like the Hindustani community in the Netherlands.
Right.
Slowly, I'm starting to find new ways to engage with it. But I always find that the experiences that I had, I'm not sure how I can bring them into the fold.
Right.
This is a way of expressing myself that I really like. I really like words, and I really like putting those things together. I really like making the beat and stuff like that. Taking, you know, certain parts of the beat out so that the words or the thing that I'm conveying is more present, and I hope that that creates a you know, out, if I zoom out and take my personal experience and how it helps me out of the context, I feel like if it's there, maybe somebody, another nerd who's also online a lot, will stumble across it and like, hey, actually, let me look up this person, and then finds out that, oh, okay, he's this and this and that, and that broadens what the spectrum is that we culturally can, yeah, broadens our cultural agency.
Yeah, it creates kin also.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's still very not uncomfortable, but it's very, makes me not anxious also, but nervous to, I've never let anybody else hear this before.
Right. Well, I'm super happy you brought it.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
It really, thank you for allowing me to, bring this, because it's a story that I haven't figured out myself yet. So it's something that emerges out of this, you know, in this conversation.
Yeah.
And yeah, with more intention, creating things with more intention, or with awareness of that it operates in a broader context.
Yeah.
And that we can use it in a certain way.
It's a zoom out again, mm-hmm. but that's also because we're nearing the end.
Yeah.
You have one more track you wanted to bring.
Yeah.
It's really nice actually that we built this up in a way.
Yeah.
The last thing we heard was Mirror, your track, your rhymes, your production, part of that work you're doing, that enduring work. But what we're going to hear now is sort of a step out, a look.
Yeah,
has to do with the same thing.
It has to do with the same thing, and to put it metaphorically or narratively, I looked into the mirror. This song is quite like a couple of years old, but it really fits where I'm at right now. I've mm-hmm. looked into the mirror. I'm still looking into that mirror. So a lot of the things that I rap about are very like vulnerable.
Yeah.
Ghostface, When I Speak to Myself, The Killer in the Mirror, Icarus Wings, They Make Me Feel Bigger, The Vigor in My Eyes, I'm Beaming at the Sky, Meets the Hubris and the Lies, It Makes Everything Wither. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, feeling very insecure. That was the first verse, and it's what I'm saying right now, reciting right now. It's the second verse, where I realized like I've donned on a lot of fur or a lot of skins that are not, that don't have to be there.
Yeah.
So take them off. And looking into the mirror is one of those things that I'm doing. I keep on doing, being vulnerable also in these moments. And now I feel like I can go outside and speak about it, use that voice for a reason.
Yeah.
And one of the things that really motivated me, but inspired me actually, is a documentary, A Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat. It's a documentary by Johan Giron Press. I'm not sure what the name exactly is. But it's a documentary about the assassination on Patrice Lumumba, the first president of Congo.
Yeah.
And it tells the story of the CIA's and the American Empire's involvement within and practices in the Cold War. And in using jazz and jazz musicians as a cultural cachet to influence certain politics in the geopolitical landscape of the Cold War.
Yeah.
And also the way that what we're about to hear, you'll hear excerpts from the UN General Assembly, and they're overlaid again as like a collage, like maybe it's quite similar to the way I work, or I like to work. They overlay it with jazz.
So you chose it, and we're hearing it because when we talk about doing the work, when we talk about in which way Mo Writes could, from this moment on, like tomorrow, a month from now, a year from now, the kind of work you're going to be doing is all these things we've been speaking about.
Yeah,
and is seeing this as a maybe not a model, but as one of the examples of how that work can also find agency.
But it's at this moment now with you here that I realize it. I didn't realize it because I brought it because of the content,
right?
What the documentary is talking about.
Yeah,
but the method that it's using to convey it
is
what I've been doing as well. I realize now.
Great.
I've never seen. Yeah, I've always been very hesitant to call myself an artist.
Mm.
But yeah, actually, maybe this is
own it, man.
Come on. I don't know. It's. I didn't even think about that. That it's the method that Johannes is using in his documentary to convey the message is very powerful. So I'm happy it's the final one, because after this I'm gonna cry for sure.
Yeah.
It's very powerful, and it's very inspiring. And so to answer a question you asked earlier, what is my north? I think this pointed me into a direction that I think, okay, I feel like politically I have to put these things together.
Yeah,
I feel like I have to.
Doing the work.
Doing the work. Yeah. And it starts with yourself, but you also always relate to the broader things. Yeah.
I really appreciate you bringing it here, Mo, and being here. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate your fragility. And this is definitely one of the most musical episodes we've ever had. And it's just dope. It's really good.
Yeah. Thank you so much again. A lot of things clicked for me as well. So I'm very happy to have this conversation with you, and I hope that the listeners will also learn something from it, but also enjoy the experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Neither the United Kingdom nor France had the right to use arms against Egypt because they were not attacked. There is nothing in the charter, there's nothing in any moral principles of international law in practice which places upon any country, however great, however mighty, however steeped in the traditions of domination by force.
The most powerful bloc in the UN is the African-Asian bloc. These are the poor nations, yet they carry more weight than the nations do who have all the money. Why? Because no matter how wealthy America is, she only has one vote. No matter how wealthy Russia is, she only has one vote. Whereas all the poor nations in Africa who have just emerged into independence, they have each a vote too. And they stick together and are able to outmaneuver the rich nations. You and I have to look at this and understand this, that the ballot is as powerful as the bullet.
Welcome to the most impossible job on earth.
As members of the United Nations Emergency Force,
you are taking part in an experience that is new in history. You are soldiers of peace in the first international force of its kind.
I think Seward's help many of the African countries to be sure of themselves and insist about independence.
Whisper, listen, whisper, listen, whisper, say we're free. Rumors flying, must be lying, can it really be? Can't conceive it, don't believe it, but that's what they say. Slave no longer, slave no longer, this is freedom day.
This decade is the decade of African independence. Forward then, to independence.
Personne ne voulait plus suivre l'administration. Les hommes, les femmes et les enfants, toute la population exigeait l'indépendance immédiate.
Freedom Day! Freedom Day! Free to vote and earn our pay. Dim the path and hide the way. But we've made it Freedom Day!
Tomorrow, the United States of Africa.
Listen.